Good afternoon. Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Right there in the middle, if you want to turn to the book of Philemon, that one pager. We'll continue our study in the book of Philemon. We're going to be focusing on verses 4 to 7 this afternoon. Book of Philemon, and we'll read in a moment from verse 4 to 7. Let's bow in prayer for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, how we thank you that your word has promised us where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. O Lord, and how we thank you that it is through the foolishness of preaching that men are to come to believe, that we are to hear the word of Christ. Lord, we need you, we pray. Open our ears, open our hearts. Help us to understand your word. Be with us, we pray, for Christ's sake, for his glory. Amen. Now, last Lord's Day, we made some general remarks concerning this letter of Paul to Philemon. The fact that though such a short book that deals with Philemon, the runaway slave, Philemon's runaway slave, it's a letter filled with many things for our instruction, valuable lessons even, the 20th century, 21st century, where we don't have slaves anymore. That also gave us a clearer insight into the heart of the Apostle Paul. Now an old man, the apostle to the Gentiles, to the Asian churches, and we saw the beginning of that in the sermon just this morning. Paul, though an apostle carrying the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, had a heart filled with true humility in his dealings with the other ministers of God's word. Paul's deep love for all the saints, and particularly for those whose work was the preaching of the gospel. He sought always to continually instruct, guide, encourage, and strengthen his fellow soldiers in the Lord. He regarded them as friends and brothers, sons, and fellow laborers in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the kingdom of God. It is clear here in Philemon that Paul always treated men who labored in the gospel with a deep love and respect, even when instructing and counseling them in important matters of faith and practice. His instruction here to Philemon regarding his deserted slave Onesimus was a great example of that loving instruction that Paul gave. Verses 8 to 10 we read, "Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man now and a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I have become in my imprisonment." And then verse 17, "So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hands. I will repay it, to say nothing of you owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ." We also noted some of the background to this letter. The time of writing, the intended recipients, namely Philemon, his wife Appia, and his fellow elder Achippus, as well as to the church that met in Philemon's house, as we know. The main subject was, of course, the subject at hand, Onesimus, his desertion from his slave owner, and his subsequent conversion under Paul. We noted Onesimus was formerly useless, and the name Onesimus means useful, and he became greatly useful to the Apostle Paul in prison. Now Paul, upon returning, Onesimus commends him to his former slave owner as a brother in the Lord, gently counsels Philemon to receive him in his new relationship, pleading leniency for his son, his very heart. "I appeal to you," then, verse 10, "for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my heart." Then we observe, just by way of a reminder, five lessons or observations by way of application, and I'll condense them. This is about forgiveness and love. encouragement to always do the right thing. Loving respect for all God's people, no matter what the circumstances, particularly those who labor in the gospel. Caring for, nurturing, providing for those in the faith who seem to be hopeless, directionless, and even in a state of sin. And lastly, being a godly example rather than a revolutionary when it comes to moral injustices, even human rights violations, namely the slavery issue that came up here. Well, in this short overview and introduction to this letter, you may have in your mind formed a view of this minister of the gospel, Philemon, as being possibly a slightly harsher man, wanting to dispense the correct justice and punishment to his runaway slave on his return. While it may be true that Philemon, as a slave owner, successful businessman, and a pastor, may have had rigid rules about dealing justly with all people, today we'll see these few verses, a side of Philemon, we will see brought out by Paul in verses 4 to 7 that will certainly change your perception of this minister of the gospel. So let's read now from verses 4 to 7 in the book of Philemon. Paul, let's start at verse 1 again. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, fellow soldier, to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then our text, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Very simple today, the short passage. We're going to observe three things from our text regarding the Apostle Paul's testimony of this pastor, this minister of the gospel, Philemon. First of all, Philemon was a man of love and faith. Philemon was a man of love and faith. Verse 4 and 5, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and for all the saints. Sometimes you meet a person for the first time, and you form have a long-lasting impression on you because they kind of had that kind of personality, and something just sticks out about them to you. Or more importantly, as you get to know somebody over time, you know certain things about them that stand out. Hopefully, good Christian virtues. What an incredibly caring person. Have you met people like that? They just care about everybody. This person is just such an encouragement because they're always joyful. No matter what the circumstances, this person just doesn't seem to be down at all. Now, I had a customer back in New York City, and he just used to say on the phone whenever he spoke to me, Campbell, you're a funny guy. You're a funny guy, always making jokes. And if you met me for the first time, perhaps you say, that's a funny South African and he's so loud, something like that. Nothing of virtue in that. Well, there are certain qualities that should be evident in every born-again child of God, a converted person to a lesser and greater degree, namely, the singular, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5 and 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. In other words, true born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be somebody who is evidently filled with love and joy, but he has zero peace and zero self-control. If we are born again, all these virtues, these characteristics will be present in our lives to some measure. The same Spirit of God that descended on Jesus at his baptism and raised him from the dead is the same Spirit that came down on the disciples at Pentecost, is the same Spirit that gives life to our mortal bodies and indwells every believer, and that is the Spirit of God that produces love and joy, peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are fruit of the Spirit. So Paul always thanks God for Philemon whenever he remembers him in his prayer. So when Paul closes his eyes, his attention goes to Colossae, and he thinks of Philemon, he thanks his God. Why? Because these two virtues stand out whenever he thinks of him. Everyone who knows you knows this and thinks this of you. Your love and your faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. I have heard this. It's gossip about you, and it's true. And I thank my God for you because of this. What a great testimony to Lord Jesus Christ, who shared his love abroad in Philemon's hearts as he does to ours. Paul the Apostle is delighted and thankful to God for his ministers that display this excellent Spirit-filled fruit of love and faith. But friends, these are qualities. I ask you, are these qualities that are displayed, you display in your life, aspire to increase love and faith towards God and to love all God's people? These were the standout excellent qualities of this servant of God, this minister of the gospel, this slave owner, Philemon. Apostle Sam's been preaching through that wonderful little book of 1 John, 1 John, and these two qualities, love and faith, cover two of the three tests that are mentioned over and over again in John. Love, or the social test, and faith, belief in Christ, or the doctrinal test. 1 John 4, 7 to 11. We know it so well. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this the love of God was manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love, not that we have loved God, but he loved us, sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. And faith, not a faith that comes from within ourselves, not a faith based on my own self-confidence or my knowledge, but a faith that comes from God as a gift, a faith that is in Christ alone for our salvation. 1 John 3:23, this is his commandment, that we believe on the name of Jesus Christ and love one another just as he commanded us. John 3 verse 18, chapter that was mentioned this morning too, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. My friends, here is the heart of the gospel. Love towards God, love towards others, particularly the children of God. If you are here this afternoon and you don't understand much about the Christian faith, understand this. It is about love. It is about the love of God so great towards man that he gave his only Son to die on the cross, to take the penalty of our sin upon himself. How great is the love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. And the gospel is about faith, believing in the name of a Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Abandoning all faith in yourself, good efforts, your good works, your charity, and believing in Christ and Christ alone for your salvation. Brothers and sisters, let us aspire to these things. May they be more evident in our lives so that those who remember you in prayer are brought to thank God at once for your love and your faith that are evident to all. Colossians 3, verse 12 to 15, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to indeed to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. This was a testimony of Paul about Philemon. Philemon was a man of love and faith. Secondly, this afternoon, Philemon's love and faith was a source of joy, comfort, and refreshment. Philemon's faith, love and faith was a source of joy, comfort, and refreshment. And we're skipping one verse and going to verse 7 there. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. When my candidacy for eldership was announced over the weeks following, a number of you came to me and spoke to me, and some of you had questions for me. And one brother came to me and spoke encouragingly to me, and he asked me but one question, and he said, do you love God's people here? That's all he asked. Do you love God's people here? And I was a bit taken aback by the question. Of course I love God's people. And we see here what an important question that is. Not just for pastors, but for all of us. Ministers of the gospel and all God's people should be characterized by love and faith towards God and love to all God's people. Was that not the question that Christ posed to Peter? Simon Peter, do you love me? Simon Peter, do you love me? Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? Yes, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. In other words, refresh God's people. Refresh God's people. What was the result of Philemon's love and faith towards God? And his obvious love for the people of God, it was a source of joy and comfort to Paul, and the hearts of the people were refreshed by it. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Now, most likely the reports that Paul had of Philemon, they had clearly made a deep impression on him. And these reports most likely came through Epaphras, mentioned in Colossians 4 and verse 12, who was with Paul, and it was said of him that he was one of you, one of the Colossian Christians. Colossians chapter 1, 3 to 5. This was not only true of Philemon, this testimony of love and faith, but all God's people in Colossae, it seems, were characterized by this love and faith toward God and a deep love for one another. The same opening statement following the greeting in Paul's letter to the Colossians. The same one to the same church. Colossians 1, 3 to 5. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. So not only was this evident in Philemon, in Apphia, his wife, and Archippus, but what characterized these servants of God had rubbed off on the people in the church. Like a good teacher, we have a number of teachers here with us, and a good teacher likes nothing more than to have his students succeed and succeed with honor at the end of the school year. It's a source of great joy and encouragement to a teacher when the one that you've been teaching excels and has applied himself or herself and done really well. So Paul's testimony of his brother, fellow soldier in the gospel, is one that has been heard from afar and is a source of much joy and comfort to Paul. And the Greek word, I believe, the word encouragement would mean the same thing in that context. For I derive much joy and encouragement from your love, my brother. And Paul is in prison 1,000 miles away. And in a sense, I guess, he felt there wasn't much he could do except write. And he writes and he says, I have heard of your love. I've heard of your faith. My friends, this is a worthwhile legacy, that others would say of us they have heard of our love and our faith towards God. They have heard of our love for one another. This is what characterizes true believers. And I believe that it's because of this reason, even though Paul felt it necessary to address the subject of the runaway slave, and commending Onesimus to him, and to counsel Philemon about receiving the runaway slave in this new relationship, in truth, he was not worried. He was confident that Philemon would be gracious, loving, and forgiving towards this new converted slave. Look at verse 12 and 14. I'm sending him back to you, sending you my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be compulsion, but of your own accord. And then in verse 12, confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. Testimony to the grace and forgiveness of God towards the very worst of us. We were formerly, like us, useless to him. Now we can, by the transforming work of the Holy Spirit, be useful to God and his people. The love and the faith of Philemon, a source of joy and encouragement to Paul and to God's people, a refreshment through your heart, through you, the hearts of the saints have been refreshed. Conclusion, and thirdly, number three. And that's back to verse 6. Paul prays for a further result of Philemon's love and faith. Paul prays for a further result of Philemon's faith and love. And when you first read this verse, it's a little bit difficult. And this morning, as Dr. Renahan was preaching, I was wondering, perhaps this is also an idiom in here, and I'll have to go back and study that. Verse 6, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Matthew Henry says of this verse, the apostle joins prayer with his praises, that the fruits of Philemon's faith and love might be more and more conspicuous, so that as the communication of them might constrain others to the acknowledgement of all the good things that were in him and in his house towards Jesus Christ, that their light might so shine before men that they say, seeing their good works, might be stirred up to imitate them and to glorify their Father who is in heaven. Good works must be done, not in vain glory to be seen, yet such as may be seen to God's glory and to the good of man. And perhaps in this verse, Paul is preparing Philemon to examine his knowledge because he wants it to grow in his dealings with Onesimus. A full understanding of the good in Christ, or the good that is in us through Christ, an understanding of the blessing which Christ brings. The form of the Greek here suggests the meaning unto Christ. The aim of the activity of sharing your faith is unto Christ. So Paul is praying that Philemon's fellowship may be directed to Christ. Any good in us, brought about by the knowledge of God and the gospel, and the resulting fruit of the Spirit in our lives. This is the faith that must be shared. This is to strengthen our fellowship toward God and must be seen as bringing glory to God and to be for the good of men. As Matthew Henry paraphrased, that their light may so shine before men that they, seeing their good works, might be stirred up to imitate them and may glorify the Father who is in heaven. My friends, that is why the Scriptures urge us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is why we need to study God's Word to be workers who need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth, so that the Word may grow, so that our faith may grow more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Where does this instruction in knowledge and depth of insight and growth in love and faith towards others, towards God and towards others, primarily take place? In the home? Yes, it must take place there in private and with our families. This is imperative, and parents, it's your God-given responsibility to raise your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, but primarily right here. Right here. This is where we train our hearts and our minds. This is where growth in grace towards God and knowledge and fellowship towards God are strengthened. This is our school to enable us to share our faith and become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ or towards fellowship in Christ. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. That's why the Scriptures urge us not to give up the habit of meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. The means of grace are here, in the fellowship towards God and with His people, in the reading of Scripture, and in prayer, in the breaking of bread, and in the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. Not so that TRBC can have a good head count even on a Sunday afternoon. Not so that we can boast that our church is always full, filled to the brim, and that the offering box can be filled. No, but so that the sharing of our faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Friends, pray for those who preach and teach the Word of God. Pray for one another that we may have a greater hunger and a greater thirst for the Word of God. And may your testimony and mine, our legacy, be that others hear and speak of our love and our faith towards God and our love to one another, that we are caused to give thanks and praise to God because these qualities are evident among us, that we are refreshed because these virtues are evident in our pastors and in every member, that our faith and our love towards God and our love to one another may be evident to all. May God give us the grace to take these things to heart, to share our faith effectively, to teach them to our children, to refresh one another, because these virtues are evident in us. Love for one another, faith and love towards God. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love, the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you that you loved us before we loved you. We thank you for your Spirit's work in our lives. We thank you that it is your Holy Spirit that has caused us to be born again and works effectively in us, producing a fruit of faith and love towards you, causes us to love one another as Christ has loved us. Oh Lord, our prayer is that we go as we go into our work week, that people who meet us for the first time, people who know us and get to know us, may be able to give thanks to God because of the faith and the love that is within us towards you, towards those of our brothers and sisters who love Christ. Lord, help us in our witness, in the way that we talk, in the way that we live, that it may become obvious to all who see us, our faith and our love towards God. Lord, we pray, give us strength, forgive us for our many sins, and go with us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen.